A Horrible Geography of the World by Anita Gennari, illustrated by Mike Phillips. Read by Vienna Vick. Introduction. Hello everyone, and welcome to the Horrible Geography of the World. You're in for the trip of a lifetime, I don't mind telling you. And it's wicked to see so many of you here. I mean, you could be happily vegging out at home with your feet up and a bag of crisps. Instead, you signed up for a trip into the unknown. Before we set off, here's a word of warning. You might have heard the saying, it's a small world. What a load of rubbish. The world's a very big place indeed, and parts of it are horrible. Horribly cold and icy, or horribly hot and dry. On this trip, you'll be crossing raging rivers and scaling snow-capped freaky peaks. You might get hopelessly lost in the jungle or swept off your feet by a tornado. Wherever you end up, one thing's for sure. This tour is not for the weedy or faint-hearted. You'll need to be incredibly intrepid and hardly to make it back in one piece. Still keen to put your best foot forward? What's that? You've decided to stay at home after all? Well, the rest of you better hop on board. It's time for us to hit the road. Oh, I almost forgot. There's just time to introduce you to a few of the other wicked world travelers who will be joining us on this tour. Meet expert tour guide and globetrotter Wanda, and our clever clogs Uncle Cliff, who's a seriously brainy boffin. And last but not least, meet Parky, the penguin Wanda brought back from her last trip to the South Pole. Now there's just one thing left to do before we hit the road, and that's to work out where exactly on Earth we are. Planet Earth. To you, the Earth is home, sweet home, the center of your universe. But to a slimy alien, it's an itsy-bitsy blob of blue hanging about in the vast, inky blackness of space. But that's put you in your space-sorry place. In fact, the Earth is one of 8 planets, beds of rock or gas, that travel non-stop around the Sun. Technically speaking, our own particular bit of space is called the solar system. It's made up of the Sun, the planets, moons, and other bits of space stuff. Fancy a holiday that's out of this world? Why not try a break on another planet? Confused about which horrible planet to pick? I picked up this seriously strange space guide on my travels. It's cosmic. Horrible Holiday Guide, the planets. Mercury. For serious sun worshippers, Mercury might be the planet for you. It's so horribly close to the sun that daytime temperatures can reach a scorching 327 Celsius. Venus. Only recommended for the hardiest visitors. Venus's atmosphere is deadly poisonous and so horribly heavy it would squash you flat in seconds. Earth. The perfect planet for you if you happen to be a human. Actually, it's the only planet with the air and water you need to stay alive. Mars. Nicknamed the Red Planet, it's famous for its pretty pink scenery. Trouble is, after you've seen a few hundred dusty red rocks, you've seen them all. Jupiter. There's loads to see on Jupiter. It's over 1,300 times the size of the Earth. Unfortunately, there's no solid surface to stand on, only a great big pile of gas. Saturn. Saturn is another old gas bag, but it's well worth a visit for a view of its shimmering rings. Each one's made up of millions of bits of sparkly ice and rock. Uranus. You'll usually spot this peculiar planet because of its ghastly greenish tinge. This comes from millennium methane gas in its awful atmosphere. Neptune. One of the newest planets in our brochure. Neptune wasn't discovered until 1836. With winds roaring at 2,000 kilometers per hour, the weather's likely to be woeful. Out of this world, as systems go. So where did the solar system come from? How on Earth did the Earth get here? It all happened so long ago that no one knows for sure. Even Wanda's seriously brainy Uncle Cliff isn't that old. Here's what spaced-out scientists think might have happened. 1. About 4,600 million years ago, a colossal cloud of gas and dust starts spinning around. 2. Gravity, that's a force that pulls on things in space, causes the cloud to collapse. 3. The sun forms from glowing gas in the center of the collapsing cloud and begins to shine. 4. Specks of rock and ice in the cloud bump and clump together to make planets, including the Earth. The sensational solar system. Our moon, you are here, Mars. Mercury, Sun, Venus, Jupiter, Neptune, Uranus, asteroid belts, and Saturn. Wicked world facts. From space, the Earth looks blue because over two-thirds of it is covered by water. You'd have a long wait for your birthday cake on Neptune. One Neptune year lasts for 163 Earth years. Thank your lucky stars you don't go to school on Venus. One Venus school day lasts for 233 Earth days. After your alarming space adventure, it's back down to planet Earth with a bump. You might think the Earth is just a boring lump of solid rock, but scratch the surface and it's a whole different story. Underground, there are all sorts of warm and wobbly bits you can't normally see. Luckily, we've managed to get hold of an exciting X-ray to show you what the inside of the Earth really looks like. Here's Uncle Cliff with an in-depth look. Planet Earth, an X-ray view. Crust. This is the bit we live on. It's a hard layer of rock that covers the Earth like a shell. Actually, the crust's quite thin, about 30 kilometers on land and 6 to 10 kilometers under the sea. But you can jump up and down on it all you like. It's so strong you won't feel a thrill. Manta. Below the crust, there's a thick, gooey layer called the manta. It's about 3,000 kilometers thick. Deep down, the manta is so scorchingly hot, a sizzly 1,980 Celsius, that some of the red-hot rocks have melted. This melted rock is called magma. Outer crust. The next layer is called the outer crust. It's like a boiling hot sea of liquid metal, mostly iron and nickel. Clear, blimey. Inner crust. The inner core is the center of the Earth, a bit like the core of an apple, but this core is a solid bed of iron and nickel about 2,500 kilometers wide. The metals are mind-boggling 4,500 Celsius hot, but it doesn't melt because of the weight of the other layers pressing down on it. This is inside the Earth. Crazy crust jigsaw. Picture the Earth as a gigantic boiled egg you've just dashed with a spoon. Okay, so you need to use your imagination for this bit. The Earth's crust, the eggshell, is cracked into 7 massive and lots of smaller pieces called plates. Don't forget the sort of plate you pile with yummy pizza. These plates are slabs of solid rock that float on top of the manta. Is all this talk of food making you peckish, or have you got enough on your plate? Here's Wanda and Parky with a handy map of the plates for you to feast your eyes on. One more plate to go. 2. Teacher teaser. Which of these isn't a kind of rock? A. Sedimentary. B. Igneous. C. Glamorous. Answer. Glamorous is a word you might use to describe your geography teacher, but the other two are types of rock. Sedimentary rocks are made from squashed sand and sea creatures. Igneous rocks are tripped out of volcanoes. A third type of rock is called metamorphic, and it forms from cooked or crushed sedimentary and igneous rocks. Wicked World Facts. The Earth isn't perfectly round. It's flat at the top and bottom, and it bulges a bit in the middle like a great big squashed tomato. You'd need supersized scales to weigh the enormous Earth. Scientists reckon our planet weighs a whopping 6,000 million tons. Drifting continents. Remember the Earth's crazy paving crust? Well, get this. The crusty plates might look rock solid, but they're constantly moving under your feet. They drift about on a layer of hot, gooey magma underneath. What's that? Don't worry. You won't get carried away. The plates usually move so slowly that you don't normally notice a thing. A moving story. The person who worked out the plates move was German geographer Alfred Wegener, 1880-1930. When eagle-eyed Alf looked at a map, he noticed that the east coast of South America fitted snugly into the west coast of Africa, like two pieces of a giant jigsaw. Alf reckons they must have been joined together at one time and later drifted apart. Wicked. After that, the pieces just fell into place. Here's Parky to show you how on Earth we ended up with today's continents. 250 million years ago, all the continents are joined together in one colossal chunk of land called Pangaea. That's ancient Greek for all lands. Around it is an enormous ocean called Panthalassa. That's Greek for all seas. 200 million years ago, Pangaea starts splitting in two. The bottom bit's called Gondwanaland. The top bit's called Laurasia. 135 million years ago, gigantic Gondwanaland split into Africa and South America, with the Atlantic Ocean in between. India breaks off and heads north to Asia. 30 million years ago, Australia and Antarctica start drifting apart. North America shifts west away from Europe, leaving Greenland as an isolated island. Push and shove. Unfortunately for poor old Alf, no one believed a word of his crackpot theory. In fact, many geographers split their sides laughing. It wasn't until the 1960s the ocean graphers made a dazzling deep-sea discovery that proved Alf was right all along. Here's how they might have repaired their earth-shattering finds. Important note number one. In some places, two plates of seabed are splitting apart and red-hot, runny magma spews up through the crack. And get this. When the magma hits the cold seabed, it cools and turns into hard rock, making new bits of seabed. So the seafloor is slowly spreading, pushing the continents further apart. Brilliant, isn't it? But why isn't the Earth getting bigger with all this extra rock? It's a mystery. No, must do more research into this. Important note number two. Yippee, yippee, we've got the answer. Oh, clever, clever us. Remember the spreading seabed? Well, in other places, we found the plates are bashing into each other instead of splitting apart. One gets pushed under the other and melts back into the Earth. This pushes the continents closer together. And guess what? The Earth stays the same size because, amazingly, the melting balances out the spreading. Exactly. Wicked or what? Wicked World Facts. Geographers call the way the plates move plate tectonics. Tectonics come from an ancient Greek word that means building. Coil is another crucial clue to the drifting continents. It's been found in icy Antarctica, proving that it was once warm and wet. That's because coil is made from trees that only grew in hot tropical forests. Alfred got his ingenious idea for the way the plates move while he was on holiday in Greenland. He was watching a load of icebergs drifting out to sea at the time. Earth-shattering fact. Mesosaurus was an ancient reptile that lived about 300 million years ago. It looked a bit like a little crocodile and liked lounging around in swamps. What on earth has a long-dead reptile got to do with drifting continents? Well, Mesosaurus fossils are only found in Africa and South America, and nowhere else, proving that these continents were once drained. Muddlesome maps. Before we go any further, let's have a word about maps. There is nothing a terrible geographer likes more than gawping at a muddlesome map. See for yourself. Wave a map under your geography teacher's nose and let your go all giggly and gooey-eyed. Pathetic. Okay, so maps are seriously useful for looking at the wicked world and getting from A to B, and tracking down buried treasure. But are they really as daring as they seem, or is there more to maps than meets the eye? Time to put maps on your map. Wicked World Maps. Remember how the Earth is shaped like a gigantic bear, squashed in a bit at both ends? Well, you can also get bear-shaped maps of the Earth called globes. But a globe's not very good for filling up and popping in your pocket. So geographers have worked out a cunning way of showing the Earth on a piece of paper. They unfilled the Earth's surface and cut bits out of it to make it lie flat. The posh word for this type of map is a projection. Here's how to make your own projection out of orange peel. You will need an orange, a knife, and a good imagination. What to do? 1. Peel the orange so the skin is still in one piece. 2. Spread the skin out on a table. 3. Cut out some pieces of peel so the skin lies flat. Told you need to use your imagination. In case it all goes horribly wrong, here's a handy diagram of a proper map projection. Lining things up. To help them plot where on Earth places are on a map, geographers draw loads of crisscrossing lines. They're called lines of longitude and latitude, but you won't be able to see them on the ground. They're not really there, you see. Anyway, by giving a place's longitude and latitude, you can pinpoint exactly where it is. Very clever, if you ask me. Equator runs around the Earth's middle. Lines of latitude run around the Earth to the north and south of the equator. Lines of longitude run from top to bottom of the Earth from the north to the south poles. Wicked World Facts. The Earth's world map was made in Babylon about 2,600 years ago. It shows the Earth as a circle, with Babylon bang in the middle. Ancient Polynesian explorers sailed thousands of kilometers using maps made from sticks and seashells. In 227 BCE, the Chinese emperor was nearly killed by a poisoned dagger hidden inside a rolled-up silk map. Luckily for him, the plot backfired. Some of the gaps on early maps were filled with pictures of imaginary dragons and monsters. A cartographer is someone who makes maps, and not someone who drives a horse and cart. Earth-shattering fact. Horrible geographers call books of maps atlases. They're named after an ancient Greek giant called Atlas, who had to lug the world about as a punishment. But that was a weight. On his shoulders. Map making. Early maps were simply squiggles on pieces of paper, stone, or silk, but today, muddlesome map making has gone horribly high-tech. Here's how a modern Earth map is made. 1. A planar space satellite flies over the Earth, taking masses of snaps. 2. The snaps overlap to build up a brilliantly detailed picture. 3. Once all this info is in, it's fed into a computer and it plots it out on an awesomely accurate map. Shocking earthquakes. Picture the scene. 1 minute you're strolling down the street wondering what to have for tea. The next, the ground shaking violently. It's an earth-shattering earthquake and it's got you quaking in your boots. But what on earth is an earthquake? Find out in our Seismic Spotter's Guide. Seismic Spotter's Guide. Shocking earthquakes happen because the Earth's crusty plates simply can't keep still. They push and shove each other, putting the rocks under terrible strain. Soon the stressed-out rocks reach breaking point and they jerk apart with a gigantic jolt, triggering an earthquake. The shakiest places on Earth lie along deep cracks where two pushy plates meet. These wobbly weak spots are called faults. But just whose fault is it? We sent Uncle Cliff to find out. A. Norma fault. What to look out for? Two plates pulling apart so the rocks get horribly stretched. Shocking sign. One plate sliding down under the other. B. Reverse fault. What to look out for? Two plates being pushed together, squashing the rocks in between. Shocking sign. One plate sliding up over the other. C. Strike, slip, foot. What to look out for? Two plates sliding past each other. Shocking sign. One plate slips one way, the other slips the other way. Wicked World Facts. Seismic is the technical term for anything to do with earthquakes. It's ancient Greek for shaky. Earthquake scientists are called seismologists. Most earthquakes last for less than a minute, but not the killer quake that hit Alaska in 1964. The earth shook for 4 minutes, a lifetime in earthquake terms. The quake that struck Lisbon, Portugal in 1755 was so powerful that it sent water in lakes in Britain sloshing to and fro in whopping waves. The 1,050-kilometer-long San Andreas Fault streaks across California, USA. This is why cities like San Francisco, which sit on the crack, suffer thousands of tremors every year. Earthquake X-ray. How does an earthquake happen? What sets off a shock? Here's Uncle Cliff again with an X-ray view of what happens when an earthquake strikes. Faults, a giant crack in the Earth's surface. Most quakes happen here. Shock waves, giant wobbly waves of energy that blast out through the rocks. When they hit the surface, they really shake things up. A focus, the spot deep underground on the fault line where the rocks suddenly snap. It's where earth-shattering shock waves begin. Earth's crust, the rocky surface of the Earth, which is cracked into plates. Epicenter, the place on the Earth's surface that lies directly above the focus. This is the shakiest spot in a quake. 10 shocking earthquakes. Each year, a shocking 1 million earthquakes shake the Earth. Luckily, most of them are too weak to be felt, but about 10 a year turn out to be deadly. Here's a map of 10 of the most colossal quakes of the 20th century. 1. 1963, Alaska, USA, 8.3 to 8.6. 2. 1906, San Francisco, USA, 8.3. 1989, Loma Prieta, California, USA, 7.1. 1985, Mexico City, 8.1. 1970, Chimbote, Peru, 7.7. 1960, Valdivia, Chile, 8.7. 1988, Spitak, Armenia, 6.9. 1976, Tangshan, China, 8.3. 9. 1995, Kobe, Japan, 7.2. And 1923, Kanto, Japan, 8.3. Earth-shattering fact. Seismologists use the Richter scale to measure earthquakes. It grades quakes from 1 to 8, depending on how much energy is blasted out when the rocks break. This is called magnitude. Each step up the scale means a tenfold increase in energy, so a massive magnitude 8 quake is actually 10 times as powerful as a magnitude 7. Awesome. Earth-shattering earthquakes are horribly hard to predict, so seismologists are under serious stress. If they could tell when a quake was coming, they could warn people and save thousands of lives. But how on earth can they work out when and where an earthquake will strike next? It's a bit like being a doctor with one gigantic patient. Over to you, Uncle Cliff. Patient, planet Earth. Sinister symptoms, masses of mini-earthquakes, bright lights in the sky, rocks give off ghastly gases, geysers start gushing, water levels rise and rise. Trust me, I'm a doctor. Diagnosis, all of these warning signs seem to suggest an earthquake's about to strike. Then again, they might not. Treatment. This is the tricky bit. You can't stop a quake from happening, so my advice is, get out of there fast. Side effects. Earthquakes can be nasty, very nasty indeed. Side effects include smashed up cities, ripped up roads, lethal landslides, fatal fires, and sloshing tsunamis. They're killer waves. Horrible health warning. Of course, real earthquake doctors don't examine the earth with a stethoscope. They use a posh bit of kit called a seismograph. It picks up the pattern of shockwaves from an earthquake and traces it onto paper. Wicked world facts. The first practical seismograph was invented in the 1880s by the British scientist John Milne. Daring John's research included being tormented by tremors in Japan. If you are indoors and an earthquake strikes, crouch under a table. Cover your face and eyes with your arms. Then hold on tight until the shaking stops and you stop quaking in your boots. If your pet dog suddenly stops chewing your dad's slippers and scarpers, you could be in for a nasty shock. Some people think animals act strangely before an earthquake. Your missing mutt might be trying to tell you a quake is about to strike. In the 1985 Mexico City quake, two babies were pulled alive from the ruins of a hospital, 10 days after it collapsed. The good news is, seismologists can give very general warnings about where a quake might strike. The bad news is they only know a quake's on the way when it's actually happening. To make matters worse, some quakes strike without any warning at all, like the one that hit Tangshan, China in 1976. Here's how the Daily Globe might have reported from the scene of the disaster. Daily Globe, Tangshan, China, July 29, 1976. The surviving residents of the shattered city are still reeling from the shock after yesterday's devastating earthquake. Measuring a massive 8.3 on the Richter scale, shell-shocked experts are already claiming the quake was the deadliest of modern times. At 3:33 a.m. local time, a huge tremor struck without warning. In seconds, it reduced the thriving industrial city to a pile of rubble. Numbers are still coming in, but it is estimated that more than 300,000 people have died. Thousands more lie injured or buried beneath the collapsed buildings. Rescue teams have already begun a frantic search for survivors. Thousands of people have been left homeless. With winter coming, their future looks very bleak indeed. Monster Mountains. Does climbing the stairs make you dizzy, or do you have a good head for heights? You'll need to be in peak condition for the next bit of our tour. Yep, you've guessed it. We're heading for the hills. Only these horrible hills are at least 1,000 meters high and are counted as Monster Mountains. Ready for some wicked views from the top? There's a third type of freaky peak, but you'll have to turn to page 22 to see this beauty blow its top. Third Mountain Glacier Block Mountain. Freaky Peak Fact File. For years, geographers hadn't the foggiest how Monster Mountains formed. Then brainy Alfred Wegener, remember him, came up with his groundbreaking idea about how the continents drift. Yep, it's the way the crusty plates move that pushes up the different types of peaks. Still wondering which mountain to climb? Why not check out our Freaky Peak Fact File before you set off? Third Mountain Formation. Two colossal plates of crust smash into each other. The seafloor between them is squashed and squeezed into gigantic thirds. High plates, Himalayas, Asia, Rockies, USA, Alps, Europe. Block Mountain Formation forms at futs where two plates meet. As the plates push together, they shove up a huge block of rock in between. High plates, massive central, France, East African Mountains, Sierra Nevada, USA. Dome Mountain Formation. Magma deep underground seeps to the surface. It shoves the Earth's crust up into a nice, round hump. High plains, Lake District, England, Black Hills, USA. 10 Monster Mountains. About a fifth of the Earth is covered in monstrous mountains. But just in case there isn't a freaky peak near you, here's a map of 10 of the world's highest mountains and some of the longest mountain ranges. McKinley, 6,190 meters. Mont Blanc, 4,807 meters. Elbrus, 5,633 meters. K2, 8,610 meters. Everest, 8,838 meters. Kangchenjunga, 8,598 meters. Kilimanjaro, 5,000.